Now let's deal very briefly with the conclusions I mentioned. First of all, it's obvious that personal relationships are of many different kinds. And Buddhism traditionally speaks of six kinds of personal relationships. First of all, there's the relationship between parent and child. Secondly, the relationship between friend and friend. Thirdly, the relationship between husband and wife. Fourthly, the relationship between master and servant. Fifthly, relationship between teacher and pupil. Sixthly and lastly, relationship between monk and layman. These are the six standard Buddhist relationships as described, for example, in the Sigalavada Sutta. If we go a little further afield, if we turn to the Far East, we find that Confucianism thinks in terms of five kinds of personal relationship. There's, first of all, the relationship between ruler and subject. Sometimes it's described as the relationship between prince and minister. Then secondly, relationship between parent and child. Three, between husband and wife. Four, between brother and brother. And five, between friend and friend. So six standard relationships according to Buddhist tradition, and five standard relationships according to Confucianism. Now, we may observe that as compared with modern times, a more equal importance seems to have been attached to these relationships. It isn't as though one or two were of overriding importance and all the rest comparatively nowhere. No. It's as though the emphasis, as though the importance of the relationships compared with modern times was more or less evenly distributed. So that in your life you had all these relationships, all six or five kinds of personal relationship, and all were very important to you. Not that one or two were important and the rest were not very important. All six or all five were very important to you. At the same time, we have to recognize that each tradition had, as among the relationships, its own special, even distinctive, emphasis. All the relationships were important, even very important, but one or two were sometimes singled out as being somewhat more important than the others. For instance, the Buddhist tradition emphasized the relationship between teacher and pupil and between monk and layman. Here is the distinctive emphasis in this field of Buddhism. In much the same way, Confucianism emphasized the relationship between parents and child. And it's because Confucianism emphasized the importance of the relationship between parents and child that Confucianism regards filial piety as the greatest of all the virtues. Now we know that the ancient Greeks had no particular list, no list of relationships. But it's well known also that the Greeks regarded the relationship between friend and friend as the most important in life and the most significant from the standpoint of cultural values. If we recollect, for instance, that very moving scene described by Plato, the death of Socrates, we find an example there. We find Socrates bidding, sometime before his death, a rather formal farewell to his wife and children, who are described as sobbing bitterly. And he then dismisses them, and he devotes his last hours to discussion with his friends. And he dies surrounded, not by his wife and children. They've been banished to the inner apartments. He dies surrounded by his friends. Now it's interesting, incidentally, and this is quite incidental, to compare the last hours of the founders of the three great universal religions. And perhaps the comparison will be found not without significance. If we turn to the Mahaparinibbana Sutra of the Pali Canon, we find that the Buddha dies, achieves parinirvana, surrounded by his disciples, as many of them as could possibly be present on that occasion. If we turn to the Gospels, we find that Christ died in the presence of his disciples, his closer disciples, and his mother. If we turn to Islamic traditions, we find that Muhammad died in the arms of his favorite wife. So perhaps there is some significance here. However, it's time we got back to our 10 cases. Now, if we analyze these 10 cases, we shall find that the problems of human relationships with which they're concerned arise within the context of only 4 different kinds of relationship. They arise within the context of the relationship between husband and wife, which I take as including that between boyfriend and girlfriend. In the second place, between parents and child. Thirdly, between friend and friend. And fourthly, between sister on the one hand and brothers and sisters on the other. We don't find in or among our 10 cases any example of a problem arising in the relationship between teacher and pupil, or in the relationship between master and servant, or employer and employee, or between ruler and subject, or prince and minister. We'll go into the significance of this a little later on. Analyzing further, we find that out of the 10 cases, 6 problems belong to the husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend category, 2 to the parent-child category, 1 to the friend and friends category, and 1 to the sister and brothers and sisters category. Now, it's true that I've cited only 10 cases, but I think, and my overall experience leads me to think, that these 10 cases are fairly representative. And I think we shall not go very far astray if we accept true that the conclusions which we may draw, at least tentatively, from these cases are representative too. I don't think the conclusions would be substantially different if they were based on 100 cases instead of on 10 cases. I think we would still find that within the context of the higher evolution, 60% of the problems of personal relationships that arise or occur as between husband and wife or between boyfriend and girlfriend. And there are definite reasons why this should be so. We may say, to begin with, that under the conditions of modern civilization, for most people, the man-woman relationship is the central one and the most important one. But this has not always been the case. If we turn to the traditions of ancient civilizations, we find that they would think that the idea that a man's wife, for instance, or his girlfriend was the most important person in his life, they would find this idea rather ridiculous. Now, this is not to say that they are necessarily right, but it is at least important for us to remind ourselves that people have not always felt as we felt today. We may say that nowadays the relationship between man on the one hand and woman on the other is regarded as central because other relationships are either rather difficult or have tended to fall into abeyance.